And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith on Canberra's 2CC.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial. G'day, Luke. How are you?
Very well, mate. I'm very well. Nice to be back.
Yeah. How was Hong Kong?
It was hot. Bit of fun at the rights, you know.
Did you join in or did you watch?
Well, let's just say I watched.
You watched? You were happy just to
There watch. Was an invite to join in, but I think we affectionately declined.
Okay, we're going to be talking about binding death nominations today, but before we do, what's this I hear about an award?
Yeah, look, it's sort of with great pleasure that I can announce that we've picked up Practice of the Year within our dealer group for the third year running. So we've run a national award and it encompasses 50 to 60 businesses around the country. Mm-hmm. We won it originally in 2017 for the first time and nobody had gone back to back, and we won it in 2018. And we found out in Hong Kong that we won it for the third year in a row. So,
oh, good stuff.
You know, it's a huge testament to the girls in the office and the work that they do and the service that they provide clients, which obviously we would be lost without.
So. And the competition would be pretty stiff for that too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, look, it runs for 12 months and there's a matrix of various, I guess, business acumen categories that are scored and measured. So it is fairly heavily contested within the dealer group. As I say, there's 50 to 60 businesses in the mix. So to come out on top of that for the third year running is, I guess, just wonderful recognition for the girls, because I'd be lost without them. You know, they're the backbone of everything that we do. And
so they're the brains of the outfit. You're just the mouthpiece.
Yeah, look,
is that right?
Like most smart men out there, I just do what the ladies tell me to do and everybody stays friends. And, you know, Barb and Sally do an awesome job of it. So, you know, it's wonderful.
Good on you. Congratulations. That's good news. And three in a row, that's not
too shabby. It's really, really, really good.
Okay, what is a binding death nomination and where are they used?
Yeah, so I guess this is just continuing on from the estate planning series that we've been running over the last couple of weeks. And this is where a binding death nomination is a means to control where superannuation assets are paid. And as we've discussed in previous shows, we've talked about wills and enduring powers of attorney. Well, people could think about a binding death nomination a bit like a will for your super fund. Mm-hmm. Because as we touched on in a show a couple of weeks ago, the will actually has no control over assets of a superannuation fund. So a binding death nomination is a really, really good way to be able to say where your accumulated super would go in the unlikely event that you were to go on a permanent holiday. So it's important to consider your broader estate planning requirements, and it's also important to consider what you would actually like to achieve should anything happen to you in the future, because it's generally one of the biggest asset bases that people accumulate over their working lives outside of their primary home. So controlling where and how that's paid in the unlikely event of your death is really, really important.
Unlikely event? Everybody dies. Come on.
So we use the word prematurely then.
Nobody survives this life, you know that, don't you?
This is true.
Well, the question being, is it a common thing to use a binding death nomination?
Yeah, look, it's something that is part of all superannuation funds. So when people set up a superannuation fund, one of the paperwork requirements that you can obviously elect not to take up, but we wouldn't be advising that because of the lack of control that would incur, is people open a superannuation fund and they have employer contributions or personal contributions put into the fund. And most people generally want a loved one or somebody that they know to be able to benefit from the money that they accumulate. So it's a very, very common thing. I think there's a few, I guess, misnamers about what it does and what it's used for, and especially where people start to come in and they say, well, I don't need one of those, I have a will. Obviously, as I said earlier, a will has no control over the assets of a superannuation fund unless the binding nomination directs the money from the fund to the estate.
Is it more secure than a non-binding nomination by comparison?
Yeah, look, great point. So we have a binding nomination, and the rules of a binding nomination obviously remove the discretion of the trustee. So regardless of where your fund is, someone or an entity will control the fund. And a binding nomination is far more secure than a non-binding nomination because of the specific nature of how benefits are paid.
Yeah.
Binding nomination is unchallenged and unquestioned. A non-binding nomination is more of a guide as to this is what I'd like to happen.
You can tweak the edges type thing.
But if there was ever to be a challenge, then it's not as secure as a binding nomination, and the trustee of the super fund may have the discretion to pay monies outside of where the non-binding nomination is made.
What about timing? Are they permanent or do they have a sunset clause?
Again, really, really good question. It depends on the super fund that you're with and the type of nomination that you make. back in the old days, which is actually not that long ago, they lapsed every 3 years. Now, some superannuation funds still have a lapsing binding nomination that says every 3 years you need to sign a new nomination for it to be valid. A lot of superannuation funds now have created a non-lapsing nomination so that people can make it once to try and eliminate the accidental need to try and change something, because they've moved funds, they've rolled over, they've changed houses, and they just forgot to do the nomination because they never saw the form, and they've accidentally lost control of what they were otherwise intending to try and have carried out for them. So a lot of funds now will have non-lapsing nominations that stay in force for perpetuity, and it's one less thing that people have to worry about when they're looking at what's happening in your funds.
Well, a fairly general question. I mean, if you've got a superannuation fund, should you have one of these by default?
Well, the answer there would be it depends. Mm. And the reason I say there would be a variance there was, depending on the deed of the fund or the fund that you use, if you have a reversionary pension and you have specific estate planning requirements or objectives you want to try and achieve, understanding and reviewing the deed paperwork of the fund you're in, especially if you're playing in the self-managed super fund space, it is starting to become extremely complicated in relation to the estate planning legislation through some recent changes of how benefits can and can't be passed around. So I'd always premise that people get independent advice to make sure that obviously their will takes into account the nominations that they have, but also then their situation. Because if you have reversionary pensions coming out of an account, depending on the deed, that may or may not supersede a binding nomination. Mm. So it really is a case-by-case scenario. I would say in most situations, I would say people should have something over nothing, because at least you can have an element of control so the control is not taken from you or misinterpreted. If that causes somebody else an issue because there's a reversionary pension or there's a change in the status or something happens, then obviously innuendo is never good in relation to a planning situation. So by default, I would say to people, if you're unsure, have one. But also then get some independent advice from your family solicitor to make sure it ties in with your broader estate planning paperwork so that the end goal can be achieved from various structures.
I know I'm jumping around a bit here, but an election an election can be made to who?
Well, a binding nomination can be made to a child, a spouse, or a dependent.
Okay.
A non-binding nomination can be made to a third party, but obviously it doesn't have the same powers. You can also make a binding nomination to your estate. So if you did have an extensive will drawn up and you said, right, I want everything in the will because we have other contingencies that we need to allow for, you can have a binding nomination that directs capital from the super fund to the estate, and then obviously the will comes to life and says, right, all of that money's now within our jurisdiction and we now control the disbursement of those assets.
So what does a binding nomination actually do? What's the nitty-gritty of it?
Well, the binding nomination, I guess, primarily gives the member of the fund the greatest amount of control in relation to what and where the money is paid. One big point of contention where there is any sort of ambiguity is obviously a challenge where, say, a loved one has passed or somebody's come out of the woodwork and said, well, hang on a sec, this was going on, and anybody can obviously challenge an estate. They could also write to the trustee of a super fund and challenge the validity of a nomination, depending if they feel that strongly that they were entitled to something, and then obviously it's up to the trustee in that situation to make the ultimate decision. The binding nature of that sort of nomination, I guess, really solidifies the intentions of the member and tries to, in the best of its ability, limit any sort of variation to the outcome that the person in the fund is trying to achieve.
Okay, now, it removes the discretion of the super fund trustee, doesn't it?
Yep, it does. Exactly right.
Okay.
You're correct.
I'm correct. I just can't get over the fact I said something right. You know, well, it's amazing.
I've come back and you're on fire.
Okay. What should people be mindful of when they're making a nomination, Luke?
Yeah, look, I think you touched on it earlier when you said that, you know, do they or do they not expire? I think that's the first thing. Check your fund and make sure you understand what the fund rules are, because everybody's different. If it does expire after 3 years, make sure you stay on top of that, because it can be something that you can just accidentally miss up in today's busy lifestyle. Understand what you actually want to do, okay? Don't assume and don't do what the ladies have done at work, because everybody has a different view and a different objective and different key things that they'd like to try and achieve. So doing what your mates have done, I generally find ends in tears. So have a think about it, because if you come from a blended family, you have a blended family or any mixed match of that sort of position, having a clear understanding of what you're trying to achieve will eliminate family members falling out over what they thought, should, could, he said, she said. So it's very important that people are on board with it and have that conversation in the family. Let the kids know so that if there is any questions or any misunderstandings, you can actually address them while you're here to address them. It's very hard to get an answer about what you thought if they've got to dig you out of the ground to get an answer.
What about if they're going to have a reversionary pension in the future?
Yeah, look, exactly. Again, this comes down to the structure of the fund and the fund that you're in. This is becoming more and more technical in relation to how benefits are transferred, because this could also be impacted by your ability to get money back into super, whether something is a reversionary pension and the income stream will continue to a spouse. Or if it needs to be paid out under the death benefit nomination that you've made the election for. So make sure you understand the deed of your fund or the rules of your fund and how they would treat this, because there are a few different ways that it could be applied. So don't just assume that everybody's the same, because it can again end in tears. The other thing is I'd make a point of saying, if you do change funds or if you roll things over, whilst your cash may move from fund to fund, your nomination doesn't. So if you do open a new fund or you have a second or third fund, for whatever strategic reason it may be, make sure that you have a nomination in each of the funds, because it's not all-inclusive, and the nomination in Fund A, if you roll to Fund B, does not pass over. So you should be fairly diligent with the paperwork when you're setting up the fund, so that obviously you tick the right boxes at the start and then you don't have to worry about coming back and missing anything in the future.
And like most things in life, of course, situations change from time to time, don't they?
Yeah. Oh, look, exactly. You know, that's one of the biggest things, especially if you maybe, you know, remodel your spouse. Is that what we're allowed to say that these days?
Well, you said it, so.
If we remodel a spouse.
Can we just delete that, please? Mass delete. Go on.
And you don't change the nomination. That's where I see a number of people slip up, where they may get divorced and they may change their will, but they don't change the nomination in their super fund. So be mindful of that. Obviously, the passing of loved ones is very, very tragic.
Well, that's a different thing altogether, isn't it?
It shouldn't then be exacerbated by you making a nomination to someone that potentially is no longer with us because you forgot to review it as part of an annual process. So stay on top of it. Make sure you know what you want to achieve. Make sure your nomination takes into account your changing situation, and also then make sure that if you do roll over your benefits, that your new fund has a new nomination and you make that election when you set it up.
You've covered a lot of things there, but I guess there are some do's and don'ts when it comes to being to a binding nomination.
Yeah, look, exactly. If we were going to wrap up the sort of key takeouts, it'd be obviously don't assume, check what's in the fund, because there's a big difference between binding and non-binding, and what you think may be in the fund, check the paperwork and just be sure. If you do get divorced or you have a change in situation, make sure your nomination is in line with what you actually want to happen. Because if you're no longer in love with someone and they receive all of your super, the person that you're loving at the time may be a little upset about that.
Can't imagine that, quite frankly.
That'd never happen.
No.
Check and see if it matures. Again, you hit the nail on the head right at the start. 3-year lapsing, check what your fund does and make sure you understand how they operate. If it's non-lapsing, great. Make sure it's what you want. If it isn't, get the old reminder in the diary or in the iPhone that, you know, once every 3 years you need to fill out some new paperwork. And get some advice. We've spent a lot of time talking over the last few weeks about the estate planning side of things with wills and enduring powers of attorney, and this is very, very important, because, as I said earlier in the show, it is a significant portion of people's asset bases when you consider the family home and the value of people's superannuation, be it in accumulation or pension phase. So get some advice and make sure that the family solicitor that you're dealing with to address your will and your broader estate planning strategies takes into account the nomination that you're making, because they may have some other strategic benefits to have things go to the estate instead of somebody in a particular situation. And I guess it just stresses that everybody's situation can be slightly different. So what your mates have done may actually be inappropriate for you depending on your situation. So
it's not a one-size-fits-all, obviously.
No, look, not at all. It's something that, I say, with the complexities of structures, transfer balance caps, income streams and all the other things that are changing in the super environment at the moment, having this and making sure that it ties in with your broader strategic plans is very, very important.
All right, so if you were to do the takeouts and the summary of all this, because it can be quite confusing. I'm a little bit confused, but that's no big task on anybody's behalf. But just to sort of recap on the main points.
Yeah, look, so check your nominations, see if they lapse, number one. Number two, update your nominations if you separate. Get some advice in line with your broader estate planning wishes with wills and testamentary trusts and all the other fancy vehicles that the solicitors use. And obviously, if you do roll over, just remember you need a new nomination because whilst your money rolls, your nomination doesn't roll with it. So if people can remember those four things, I think they're well along their way to not making a horrible mistake.
Well, of course, if anybody's still confused or if anybody still has any doubts or questions, which I'm sure you've raised more than your share, and then I was going to say you've raised more than you've answered, but that's not quite true because you've answered a lot. But what should they do? Can they come to
you? Yeah, look, as always, you know, people can contact the office, 6260-4749. They can catch us up on the website at www.envisionfinancial.com.au. They can go to the Knowledge Centre there, and we have a library of technical resources. Part of that, obviously, is the estate planning field, and they can watch some videos and read some information for those that are technically inclined. Obviously, we've got the podcast, the strategy stacker, Luke Talks Money on iTunes, where they can catch up on the show and pause it, take some notes. And obviously, they can watch it on YouTube. They can see your lovely mug.
Oh, really?
Envision Financial Canberra. Where we've got all of the key takeouts through the show. So you can pause it, Okay. Take some notes, then we rehash before and after the ad break so that people can actually take their time and consume what we've...
Can you slow the replay down so we can make notes and all that?
And hopefully we can screenshot and make both of us look pretty, so...
Yeah, well, that could be a task. Although, that's why God gave us Photoshop, isn't it?
Exactly right.
Right, so just, again, congratulations on the award.
Yeah, look, appreciate it.
Just a quick word about that. Where was it? You were in Hong Kong when it happened.
Yeah, so we had a compliance conference where we go and learn about all the current do's and don'ts in relation to the law, because there have been a significant number of changes of late, so it's important to stay on top of that. And as part of that culmination of 12 months occurred at the end of last month, so we were awarded that while we were overseas, which was really pleasing because it's a huge recognition and something that we've been working really hard to have a three-peat on. So I was.
So what's next? You're a four-play.
Well, don't know if we can pull that off, but you know,
I've used that line today. I've got to admit, and I won't use it ever again.
Good on you. Done deal.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial. Thanks, mate. We'll catch you next week.
All right, buddy. See you next week.
You'll be with Leon next week.
All righty. Happy days.